Good morning, everybody. Glad to have you with us. We are The Valley Outdoors. Joining us today, we have Ava.
I'm here.
I caught you. Don is here.
I'm over here.
And I am here. I'm Eric. And we are glad to have you guys with us. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Miami Boat Show. We're going to be talking about a fishing tournament that was over before it almost started. In fact, it wasn't necessarily a tournament, but an event that went on.
In our neighboring state.
In a close by state. That and more when we return. Stick around. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good morning, everybody. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing good.
Nice to be back in Minnesota.
I like it. Well, I bet it was warmer where you were again.
Of course.
Always is.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to spend much time outside. It was mainly in the Miami Boat Show, not out at the docks. But it was a craziness. Lots of people and a very cool event besides. Tons of new stuff. I was just blown away at kind of the transitions that are taking place within the propulsion world.
Oh.
I would say. Highlights in my world, there was a number of new electric outboards.
Really? Tell me about them.
Yeah. Photon Marine had a 300 horse outboard that was there, and they were using the Shiro propeller for efficiency. And that's one of the kind of the cool things. They're looking to have the most efficient way to connect to the water because you don't want to have prop slip. You're basically losing energy if you're spinning your wheels, as it were. And they were out there very prominent. I think that the part that was, not surprised me, but it brought me to the, there is a use for it, but it's not what everybody thinks. It's not like you're going to go out and run all day with an electric outboard or inboard because you have limited time to use. The battery is only going to be X size. So they're used for tenders. They're using them for tenders. They're using for an auxiliary engine to and from big yachts, in and around marinas where they can be plugged in and be charging most of the day until they're needed. But talk about crazy, 300 horsepower electric motor.
Yeah, well, that's not surprising, actually. I mean, even in vehicles, the electric vehicles, when I was looking for a truck, I was doing some research on that. And they have more torque than a diesel actually does.
I'm not a big fan of the electric side of it in my research that I've had. A couple people that had looked into buying them, drove them for a little bit in the winter, and the degradation within the cold temperatures is much greater.
Oh yeah.
Than even they've stated. So it gets to be kind of an issue as far as longevity, especially in a truck. So that's one of those things you want to pull.
Well,
I'd
be concerned on the water. I mean, you can't get too far away from the dock, or you're calling for a tow, I would imagine. I don't imagine there's any charging boats out there at this point.
No. So then the other one is, so this is, you're going to love this. So they have a ski boat, like a regular wakeboard type boat.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
Pushes, keeps the bow up in the air, so it's going to go through a lot of energy. It gets about an hour and a half use, and then it's like about 12 hours of charge, right?
Right.
What's blew me away was you can't charge it on the trailer. You have to charge it with the boat in the water because the charge rate is so high, they've got it liquid cooled, and it pulls from the water around it.
To cool
the charging system.
Oh, wow.
I totally blew me away. I'm like thinking to myself, what?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, everybody's in favor of a clean world, of course.
Absolutely.
But I don't. I think we're many years out from perfecting these ideas.
We're putting the cart before the horse, I think. Yeah. But one thing I will say is, in the marine environment, this is the one difficult thing that will, regardless of what happens, if you're in a marine environment and you have your boat at the water, you have it at a dock, which there's so many people that they, you look at whether it's Florida, the East Coast, here, Minnesota, Wisconsin, wherever. Anytime you have water involved and you have electricity, things can go wrong, especially at the rate that you need to charge a boat of that magnitude with the battery. So it comes into play to charge it. You can't do it on a 110. You can't really do it. You can try to do it on a 220 volt, you know, voltage. Right. But you really need a, you have to have a specialized charging system. You can't just run it out your window. There was a comment on somebody who said, yeah, the people that don't have the ability to pull it into a garage, they're running extension cords out to their vehicle across the sidewalk with cones to block up where you're parking it in the street and trying to charge just a car. But when you have it at a boat, you want to have people swimming, that gets to be a little scary.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've all had, I mean, you and I have had electric motors in our boats for
forever.
But we're talking a 12-volt battery.
Exactly.
Or two of them or three of them, depending upon the size of electric motor you're using.
Well,
but we're not trying to ski with it.
No, we're not trying to, and we're not trying to go to a fishing spot 8 miles away and then troll. It just doesn't pan out.
No. Well, see, my sense is it wouldn't be a problem getting there. It would be getting back.
It's exactly right. So you're not going to put triple 300s on a 32-foot vessel. No. Well, we had Jeff Wassel on, and he's done the calculations. Is you can't literally have enough battery in the boat. It would sink the boat. That's the calculations. With even the best lithium batteries today, now, they're, granted, there's some sodium batteries. I forget the exact makeup, but they won't contain the same amount. Lithium will be pulled out. The problem you have is copper. And that we'd have to triple the amount of copper harvested or
used.
Dug up
Mine.
In order to nickel and copper in order to do that. And and I've done a lot of research. In no time in history has any mineral ever been tripled as far as the excavation rate to achieve or meet a need. So it's been... It's pretty crazy, but that was the domination of the show. That was a big thing. Obviously, the share of props, it was blown away by how well that went over, and we really did well there.
Was this the first show for Cheryl?
No, this was actually not the first show, but with all the performance reports and everything that we had, as well as all the video testimonials from BoatTest.com, as well as others, our booth was literally slammed, and it was a great position to be in, and people are out using these props and sharing that with others. So pretty doggone cool. Hey, tell you what, hang tight. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about that sturgeon tournament that got done before it started, or event that got done before it started. And lots more. Hang tight. Thanks for hanging around, and thanks, of course, for checking us out on Facebook and where else, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Lots of cool stuff. We always talk about it, but a great interactive website wherever you want to go across the greater 50, I believe. Is it also including?
All 50.
All 50. There you go. And really just plug in where you want to go, and you can get all the details of what's going on in that state from the DNRs across the world. Or our world.
Our world.
Yeah.
Our states.
Our states. And, of course, the links that are on the site as well from those folks that we've talked to and are friends of the show. So hang tight for that. Check it out. And you'll enjoy perusing. You can get caught in that black hole.
Yeah.
The spiral. Once you start checking things out, then it becomes... It's called immersed.
Right.
Like other websites that you can do that I will not mention, but Yeah, there you go. We had talked a little bit, highlighted it, about the sturgeon event that was on a neighboring state in Michigan. They hit a quota. So what happens is they open fishing. They know what the fish number of fish they can take.
For the season.
For the season. And they hit it in exactly 65 minutes.
They hit the quota in 65 minutes.
Yeah.
How do they know that?
They got 7 sturgeon they could get.
Statewide.
Well, in this lake.
Oh,
a lake alone.
Oh.
One lake alone.
Okay, gotcha.
And they had the harvest limits set. And they it helps accommodate the expected number of anglers and anticipates the harvest of one more fish. So they said, we can take 6, but we're going to have 7 that you can take because they can cut it off at 6. They knew they probably have one more that would come in.
Right.
And there were 630 anglers registered for that particular event. Good number of supervised youth. According to the DNR, harvested sturgeon ranged in size from 32 to 55 inches long, from 6.5 to 35 pounds. And they actually had how the fish were caught. I mean, ranking.
Oh, so really?
The first fish, 49-inch male weighing 30 pounds. Second, 55-inch, 35.5. Third, 54-inch. Fourth, 32. Fifth, 54, weighing 34 pounds. And the sixth fish was 39-inch male that weighed 11 pounds. So that was a scrawny runt. But
how were they caught?
Harvest fish captured in this particular run, they were speared. And well, as well as hook and line. So okay. They were doing both. It's funny, they were notified the season closure in a variety of ways, mainly from nearly instantaneous text alerts. So as soon as somebody caught that last fish, there were DNR on the ice.
Sure.
And all they did was text everybody and immediately said, we're done. And it was between that and then knocking on houses and making sure everybody knew that they had the word. And that was in the Sheboygan River watershed. They've done a great job at really bringing back that particular, the sturgeon in that particular watershed. So a pretty amazing way that they can
Well, it's nice they're controlling it.
It is pretty cool. It is pretty cool. Well, you were talking about Winnebago. I mean, that's always a crazy event.
Well, they do have. I didn't read the whole article, but I did notice the one of the sturgeon that were caught there. I don't know how long it was, but the winning sturgeon was 165 pounds. That is a lot of sturgeon. I don't know what you do with it. Have you ever eaten sturgeon? Have you? Is it good?
It's quite good.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Smoked.
Oh.
Whew. They're soggy and hard to light, but other than that. Sorry. I always have to use that whenever I can. But they are good to eat, no question about it. And Winnebago, it's funny. They've got a buddy of mine actually has a Suburban set up just for it. It's got holes in the floor.
Oh,
he drills the holes, drives over it, puts the tube down, not for sturgeon per se, ice fishing itself.
But, right.
And then he can go ice fishing. But then obviously sturgeon, it's a dark house scenario with a spear. It's a very, if you ever watch it on YouTube, I encourage you guys, check it out, whether it's wherever, YouTube or whatever. But look it up, watch sturgeon fishing when you're spearing. It is the most exhilarating up close and personal thing you could ever possibly imagine.
Well, it looks like I think a gator coming, you know, through your, they cut a big ice hole in there. I've been over to Oshkosh, Wisconsin when one of those tournaments have been going on. I think they only get to do one a year, and I happened to be there, and I was having dinner in the establishment there that's right on the water, and guys were going out and coming in, and it's pretty popular.
Oh, yeah. You put the decoy down there, and they have a weight on the end of the decoy that's down a ways, so it stays down when you move it.
Right.
I was blown away. No question about it. It was crazy. Well, you look at it, you get a 50-inch fish that's swimming right underneath you, and you're...
Yeah. I'm just not a big fan of... I'm not a big fan of spearing. It's just so hard to catch and release.
Well, yeah. No, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's like, okay, South Dakota.
Yeah.
Down in Oahe. This is a crazy deal. They do the same thing, not above on the ice, but they'll, in summer, they'll go swim in the trees and they'll spear walleyes with a spear gun.
Again, probably pretty hard to catch and release.
Oh, it is. I just find it difficult how you're able to find the 21-inch fish from the 19-inch fish, which is kind of a...
Underwater.
Underwater.
Everything looks bigger.
Got to be good.
Yep.
We're actually...
Well, you use a ruler, can't you?
Well, yeah. Excuse me. Can I measure you?
Yes.
We actually were out fishing a tournament, and they had the float alerts that there's a diver in the trees while we're trolling outside the trees. That didn't make me too happy, but we'll just...
Well, you should have moved.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
It wouldn't be so pleasant if you hooked a poor diver down there who doesn't know you're there.
Can you imagine?
No.
The planer board goes back. It's crazy. Oh, well. Well, tell you what, Don, we're going to come right back. We're going to talk a little bit about Congress trolling social media with hunting photos after somebody was put in Twitter jail. Kind of an interesting story. We'll be right back. Hang tight.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
So, Donald.
Yes.
I teased the story before we went to break, and I was rather surprised at how this kind of Twitter social, I don't know what you call it, social media thing
Sting?
That went on. Yeah.
Okay. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah. Multiple Republican members of Congress took to Twitter on Tuesday to defend the Montana GOP Senator Steve Daines after a social media giant locked him out of his account for allegedly displaying graphic violence with a profile photo that showcased his recent hunt with his wife.
Really?
Yep. The decision from Twitter drew outrage from Republicans, both the Senate and the House, with some in Congress, including South Dakota GOP Senator Mike Rounds and Montana Governor GOP Rep, excuse me, Matt Rosendale, North Dakota Rep Kelly Armstrong. They decided to share their own hunting photos as well on the platform.
So, what was offensive to them?
They don't know. They just posed with, it was an antelope, and it was a really nice picture. It was a great picture. He and his wife, it was a beautiful sunny day, and...
So did these representatives actually have an issue with it, or
no, what they did
being
is,
trolled?
What they did is they decided, we're going to post our hunting photos as well and see if they try and cancel us.
Okay, gotcha.
So they trolled to see if they were going to get yanked as well. And surprisingly enough, Daines, the original one who was banned, got his account reinstated Tuesday afternoon, and he thanked Elon Musk for recognizing this photo was similar to hunting pictures that Americans post regularly.
Right.
It's our Montana way of life, and we're proud of it. I'm glad Elon Musk recognizes this, he said in a statement after his account was reinstated. Standing in solidarity, the other senators and reps posting their hunts as well. And it's kind of crazy. It said...
So the representatives didn't have an issue with what he...
No, they were supporting him, Don.
They were supporting him, seeing if they were going to get canceled as well.
Exactly. So they call it a troll to see if they can't get them to try and do something else.
Sure.
The company said this is being fixed. Policy against showing blood in a profile pic is being amended to clearly showing blood without clicking on the profile pic. The intent is to avoid people from being forced to see gruesome profile pics, Musk wrote in a Twitter post in response. I hear Twitter has a problem with hunting photos. They clearly haven't been to Montana, said Rosendale, who represents the state's congressional district. He said in a tweet, another rep said that they voiced support for Danes, sharing the photo of himself and others who took part in a once-in-a-lifetime moose hunt in North Dakota. He said it's... Senator thinks it's preposterous that a picture of him and his wife hunting, an activity that's ingrained in the Montana way of life, would be against Twitter rules. Our team has reached out to Twitter and will be working to get that resolved. Other members of Congress who were outraged by the decision to suspend his account shared their frustration over the decision, and they said he shouldn't be censored because people disagree with the post. Hunting animals isn't violence. It's how people have fed their families for millions of years, said Carter, who represents the 1st Congressional District. If Twitter thinks this image needs censoring, just wait until he hears where chicken nuggets come from.
That's a good one.
Twitter's sensitive media policy states that certain images may be subject to removal, including pictures or videos that depict excessively graphic or gruesome content related to death, animal torturing, or killing, which is fine. I totally agree with that. But there's nothing that's showing any of that. Guidelines state exceptions to the policy may include religious sacrifice, food preparation, processing, and hunting. So that's the exceptions. And they haven't responded it beyond that.
Well, I will say most ethical hunters have a lot of respect for the animal that they're hunting, and you don't display it in an improper way. I mean, it goes way back to the when I was a young guy. I remember the rednecks that were hunting deer. You know, they'd strap them to the hood and go down the road or on top of the car, and it's like. That's not what you do. I mean, it's not.
Well, the only thing you can do sometimes is you're not going to put a deer inside your station wagon because not everybody had a pickup truck. You had a station wagon.
And that's what you used to have. As a head or
well,
a
no, you had to strap it to the top. Right. You know, and I get it. But, and again, 99% of the hunters out, 99.9% of the hunters out there, are going to be doing everything. You know, you do it in a respectful way because, hey, this is the reason I'm out here is because I enjoy spending time with friends. I enjoy the outdoors. I enjoy the hunt itself. It's like fishing. If it was not called fishing, you call it catching, but there is not catching. It's the event that in doing it that's the challenge, and that's what brings the excitement to the whole piece and part. And that is the photo is a representation of that hard work that went into it, and you want to share that with others that you did good, right. And that was, you know,
in the world.
And then they can call. Then they can call you to ask for some. Hey, when you having dinner?
Right. In the world, of fishing. If we were all honest, we do a lot more fishing
than catching.
Than we do catching.
Yeah.
If
well,
we're
and then,
honest,
you know, and the other thing is too, when you have a harvest, then you always ask people for beer sticks.
Right. It's been
right,
working
right,
for
Ava?
Yeah.
Been working for some of us.
Yeah. Some of us, we got it right away. This delayed gratification thing, we're like...
we rectified it this year.
Yeah.
Did
still
she bring
waiting.
In beef sticks?
They're still waiting.
I'm still waiting. Next month, apparently.
Oh. Apparently, they're aging the beef, the venison.
The venison, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Story I had not highlighted. People are going to be interested in this. The walleye quota increases for Lake Mille Lacs is coming up, and the regulations to show or indicate that will be forthcoming. Out of Isle, Minnesota, members of the Mille Lacs Fishery Advisory Committee met with state officials at McQuaid's. You remember McQuaid?
Yep.
Or McQuaid, sorry. Terry's up there, used to own that. And they're talking about the potential input to the regulations for Mille Lacs. And they were scrutinizing 2023 walleye fishing regulations. This committee has guides, resort owners, anglers, community members who meet four times a year. They wanted to get input. Ultimately, the committee has recommended to have an open season throughout the walleye fishing season with a slot keeper size being between 21 and 23 inches. In the past, there's been a closed season for walleye during prime hooking mortality time during the hot months of summer. The committee, however, wants continuous fishing throughout the season. This is a big deal. Another discussion point was the triggers that would alter the regulations sooner than later. The DNR wants to make a regulation change. It requires to give the six Ojibwe tribes like 60 days notice regarding the changes. They want to change that to a very short window, especially if there's any changes that come in where they can open up the season and allow that. Because once September 1st rolls around, people are going hunting, they're closing cabins, and what they want to do is make sure that they can extend that visitation up there in the walleye areas as long as they possibly can. And it would liberalize regulations if the harvest is not going well. Because last year they under-harvested by a significant amount. That would allow them to change that regulation, expand it from 21 to 23, and then expand it so it could happen literally in a week. So you all of a sudden you'll know, click, it's hit, let's open it up and give people an opportunity to harvest more fish. So,
I mean, that is big for the state of Minnesota. Mille Lacs being probably one of the premier walleye fisheries in the state for the last umpteen years. And then, you know, for whatever reason, we've had this decline, and now there sounds like it's getting healthy again.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Just real quick, the state had a total of 15,000 pounds of its 80,000-pound quota last year. That's how far down off of it that was. So definitely pluses, and there's Goodyear classes out there, two Goodyear year classes out there, and it's going to be able to harvest the next couple of years, which is going to be great. So fantastic. Thank you guys for joining us, and got a lot more stories coming up next week. It's going to be fun. Have a great week, you guys. We'll talk to you soon. For Eric, me, Ava, and Don, we are Valley Outdoors. See ya.